Welcome to this week's episode of Apple at Work, a podcast on the 9to5 network, all about Apple in the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, and I'm your host as always. And this week, my special guest is Tom Bridge from Jump Cloud. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Bradley. It's great to be here.
So you're what we consider legacy in the Mac admins community. I've been doing this for a long time, and you recently joined the team at Jump Cloud. What led into wanting to make that transition to the vendor world?
Well, yeah, for the last 15 years prior to joining Jump Cloud, I've been at Technolutionary and running an IT consultancy, so helping out or businesses of, the small to medium size kind of handle their technology. And, obviously the pandemic has changed everybody, and I will definitely say that, the pandemic definitely changed me and how I approach things. And, I had a really great conversation with Greg Keller, who's the CTO at Jump Cloud, back in January, and he said, look, my New Year's resolution was I want to work with the people I want to work with, and I really want to work with you. We had a partnership with Jump Cloud at Technolutionary. We were an MSP in their in their panoply of partners. And, we had a bunch of clients using Jump Cloud to do identity management. And then eventually, as they started to mature their MDM offering, moving over that way. And, when Greg kind of offered me the chance to help build that MDM into, something really next level, the more that we talked, the more I really wanted to work with him. And the more that I met people at Jump Cloud, I was like, yeah, okay, great. This is going to be fantastic. So I left Technolutionary. I left behind, a business that I helped start, which is definitely, a major change in life. I've been with Jump Cloud since middle of April, and it's been fantastic. I've really enjoyed getting to work on a very different problem space. And, obviously we just had Worldwide Developers Conference, and so everything is new again. There was a lot at WWDC that was really geared towards an MDM that also happens to be an identity provider. So it's been really exciting.
Yeah, Jump Cloud offers a really unique platform, and really their offering was very timely with the changes that IT had last year. The reason we are having you on specifically today is it's talking about a new report that Jump Cloud has put out. It's the 2021 State of IT report, and really looking at kind of what's the pulse of the IT industry from a people perspective, not just really just a technology perspective, but where are IT professionals at, and what are they planning for? What are they thinking about? And so I'm going to read some of the key findings, and then we can kind of go back through and talk about them. First one is IT budgets will prioritize three things in the coming year: remote management, security, and cloud services. So, thinking about that, and those three things are, none of those are really new. And so I kind of liken a lot of the IT changes that are rapidly happening are things that were already coming, and we just exacerbated their speed by like 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we've seen everything change over the last, say, 16, 18 months. And organizations that were, largely meant for in-person work, suddenly had to adapt to a world where remote first wasn't just the order of the day. It was how you kept your people safe and alive. That is, a big change for any organization. And, dealing with those kind of consequences, and as an IT practitioner, I mean, I've lived it over the last, year and a half. And we watched 60 businesses that, we were working with the Technolutionary go through, sea changes and become next level organizations because they had to be. And, not all of our clients, kept operating. We worked with performance venues, and they had to shutter down and, slim down to almost nothing. But they still couldn't use their spaces, and so had to adapt to being remote, had to adapt to, should we say, challenging security conditions, where, IT would normally provide a network that they felt was secure and keep that network secure for people. Suddenly we were working out of everybody's home and everybody's cell phone connection or everybody's, Comcast modem, and wanting to make sure that, you know, there was some good level of security involved was, you know, a big part of the job. And then, you know, on top of all of that, being able to operate without having to use a VPN or operate without having to use the cloud server or the Office, you know, web server or the Office file server or the giant copier, and to still be able to be productive in that environment. You know, we saw a lot of organizations kind of go through, you know, major change cycles to accomplish their needs. And, you know, it's definitely been a really changing environment. And, you know, it's no surprise that organizations are starting to see how they can adapt to moving forward in this new world as a remote-first organization.
Hey, this is Bradley. I want to take this week of Apple at Work is sponsored by DevonThink. If you're like me, you have more digital things than you know what to do with. If you're not good at organizing them, you're always losing stuff. You can't find your presentation, can't find that code snippet, if you can't find that text, you'll want to check out DevonThink and DevonThink To Go. It's a document and information management solution for the Mac and on iOS. Now, it's one place to store all of your documents, your code snippets, your bookmarks, anything you're working with. Here's the thing, if you're using PDFs, OCR makes it searchable. So you can throw all your PDFs in there and it'll OCR it in the app. It's integrated with AI on the Mac to assist you with filing and searching, and it has a ton of different ways to create extensive search language. It has smart rules and flexible reminders to let you automate all parts of your workflows and delegate the boring and repeating tasks to DevonThink. It'll automatically organize your data with the rules you define. It has flexible sync with many cloud services, or you can even synchronize over your local network. So everything is securely encrypted. Of course, there's so much more, from email archiving to scanning to an embedded web server for sharing your data securely with colleagues or students. And there's a brand new version of the iOS app with a modernized UI, includes OCR, shortcut support, and much more. Now, here's the thing. If you go to devontechnologies.com/Apple at work, you go to 10% off coupon. So it works for new purchases and upgrades. That's devontechnologies.com/Apple at work, but there will be a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. Thanks to DevonThink for sponsoring this week's episode of Apple at Work.
The thing you mentioned there about printers is, I think, to me, one of the more interesting ones, because there was just like so many things that most organizations dealt with that they'd say, oh, we can never do that. Like, that's just part of our business. And we quickly learned, like, the legacy parts of our business, like, that we always said you had to do. No, you quickly, you didn't have to do anymore. You couldn't do, so you figured out a way to not need it. And you kind of digitized quickly. And it was like, honestly, it's an exercise that going forward, businesses should always be thinking about from a technology perspective of, like, these exercises of what if X happened, how would we evolve? And I think the one you mentioned that was really interesting to me too is like everybody's home internet connection suddenly in some ways becomes an IT problem. And we'll talk more about that in security later on in the conversation. But yeah, that's a challenge. I mean, most businesses couldn't put in a dedicated internet pipe to everybody's home, certainly last year. And now some will do that going forward. I know businesses in 2019 that were remote, a lot of them had already done that, like particularly people that were doing like medical coding and medical records. They already had dedicated IT connections that were hardwired to their computers. And I could argue, obviously, that's the best way to do it. Obviously, hardwired is better. That's awesome. Every home is probably not going to be able to have that. And so that's, again, it's like one of those where you no longer have just one internet connection, and it's great because it's like one internet connection going down doesn't take down your whole network, but now you have potentially hundreds a day that could take down particular employees. So it just is what it is. Second thing, remote work hurts security best practices. The studies found that 74% said remote work makes it harder for employees to follow good security practices. Yeah, I would agree with that, and particularly there are just so many changes. And if you weren't already prepared for that, like last year, you just quickly did what you could do to keep things running. And I think the trend looking into, like, say, 2022 budgeting practices is going to be like putting in place like the identity management solutions, the multi-factor authentication solutions that kind of take the guesswork out of security.
Absolutely. And, you know, those kind of things are for sure a concern to any organization. And obviously, you know, some places, you know, they were primarily all desktop machines in the office. And so when, you know, the pandemic hit, maybe people weren't allowed to come in and get a computer. Maybe they've been working at home on, you know, their personal computer. How do you make sure that, you know, a personal computer stays secure in this kind of environment? And those are the kind of things that IT admins have to think about, is what's my policy in that state? How do I enable my workforce to be remote and handle those kind of things? And so, you know, obviously we've certainly seen, you know, as part of that, you know, 24% of the respondents of our survey said they'd already adopted a zero trust model. Another 33% were planning to adopt it inside their organization in the next year. And so, you know, moving toward a zero trust model where it doesn't matter necessarily what the computer is logging in, as long as we can warrant who's using it, as long as we can check it out against some very basic concerns, and then, you know, take an appropriate level of security response as part of that process. And either say, yeah, if you're going to log in from a personal machine, I'm going to need an MFA every time. Or if you're going to log in from a personal machine, I'm going to want to make sure that, you know, some device posture has been met. Whether that's like, hey, I need you to make sure that you've got a passcode set on your phone, or I need to make sure that you've got like a screensaver policy of some kind, just so that we know where your environment is. And so, you know, that's been a big part of the last year as well. And then, you know, looking at MFA, just barely more than half of the admins out there say that they require MFA across everything that they do right now. 31% say that it's integrated, but that it's only integrated for certain applications. And, you know, there's also 30% out there who think they don't need it at all. So, you know, it's certainly a complex environment out there for IT admins these days. So, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to kind of see where that goes. You know, if we look at identity generally speaking, the report tells us that, you know, 56% of respondents said that they plan to use username and passwords today and going forward. 47% said face recognition was part of their plan. So that's Apple's Face ID, obviously, on iPhones and as a safety measure to kind of protect MFA and other, you know, accessibility concerns there. And then, you know, 44% are saying that they're using fingerprint biometrics today and moving forward. So, you know, we certainly see an evolving landscape around the ability to use second factors, around the ability to use authentication mechanisms that are based on who we are as opposed to, you know, something that we know. And something that can be taken from us in those cases. So, I mean, a password can easily be compromised by phishing. It's a little harder to get my hand or my face, you know, at least without resorting to, you know, bad special effects movies from the late 90s and Nicolas Cage. So, you know, I think that there's a lot more people looking at the future of identity as well as just what's present today.
Yeah, it's a great point in talking about, like, it's not... This is the best model of security. It's, yes, all of it's great. Like, you've got to have this mix of, and again, you're talking about, like, you know, every device kind of has a different use case. And it's having this, like, multi-layered approach to security that every layer that you add in reduces your chance of a breach, but it also does increase, like, a little bit of friction for employees as well. And that's kind of the one of the things too that's focused on in the survey as well, is there's an acute focus on employee experience. And I think that's really the top of mind for a lot of organizations is making sure the employees like the experience of working there. And so much of that now is with the technology you use. It's because you're not in the office. Like, it's not like you have we have a cool working kind of environment. Like, we have a cool office. We have a cool setup. We have free coffee. We have this. Like, now the tech is just a major part of that experience. And not that, like, anybody is rating their employer on Glassdoor because of their simplicity of, you know, multi-factor authentication, but, like, if it's not a chore to have to interact with the company's policies, that's good for employee satisfaction, but that's also good for security, because then they're not, like, looking for the easier ways to use it. So yeah, that's, I think that's definitely a key thing. Kind of move on to security concerns. One of the key things here, 62% say they pay more for tooling than they need to manage user identities, and more than half of respondents say they're spending too much to enable remote work. What do you think that is?
You know, I think that there are a lot of organizations that maybe during the pandemic, you know, responded rapidly to add a feature or to add a security tool or to add an identity management or to add, you know, licenses to certain products that maybe weren't in heavy rotation. And they have, you know, probably created for themselves a bit of a morass. Right, like that. I needed to get to this point, but you know the challenge that they faced was that, you know, hey, I needed to do this thing, and now I've gotten stuck in this license arrangement that's maybe not ideal for remote work or going forward. Or they might have done something, you know, temporary to, you know, figure things out. I think that there's going to be a lot of streamlining that happens over the next, you know, 12 to 18 months as we realize what's actually important versus what's in my budget versus hey, can I maybe get this thing to do that thing instead. And you know, there's going to be kind of we kind of went into Wild West mode for a while, and it was just get it done. And now we're in a place where people are starting to say, I need to work smarter, I need to spend smarter, and I need to find tools that meet more of my requirements. So I think that there may be some adjustments in that space as well. So organizations may be adjusting to find more players that can do more things. And accomplish, you know, more of their goals with fewer products. So I think that that's certainly something that, you know, IT directors may be looking at. I mean, it's the age-old battle, right, between budget and between, a need and requirement. This is going to be, we kind of had a let's take the barn doors off approach over the last year, and we're going to see that change again. We're going to see spending go back more towards normal, but in the meantime, you know, let's talk about some spending places where things have been really, really good for the IT community. More than 38% of our respondents said that they'd gotten a raise in the last year. Even that's despite some of the challenging economic concerns that we're in right now. IT has certainly done very, very well to enable functionality of business during a massive crisis. And IT is really now first responders for the very first time, and essential personnel in a lot of cases. So, you know, we're seeing that represented in IT's, you know, importance within the organization when it comes to payroll levels as well. So I was really happy to see those kind of things, that this wasn't a place where everybody's job got cut. This wasn't a place where everybody was suffering from, you know, pay decreases or from staying the same. But, you know, very, very many fewer people had to take pay cuts to work in IT in the pandemic, which I thought was unique.
Yeah, it's really, if you look at the role of IT, it's digital operations as much as it is like what we consider like IT. You're a facilities director. You're a digital facilities director and have as much impact as the, you know, HVAC technician if it's out when people are in the office. It's just a key role. And I think, again, I don't think anybody I think it's just nice to see everybody's realizing the role that IT plays, because it's often something that you don't notice that's how hard it is. I mean, it's really the evolution of our industry over the last 20 years has been consistent. I mean, you could even say, like, if the things that you and I do that, when we were in college, they didn't even exist. And so you kind of have to always keep learning and keep evolving. And of course, that's most jobs today. But yeah, it's just you have to be on that cutting edge. You mentioned zero trust, and we've talked a lot about security. And I think that's going to be one of the key long-term trends from the pandemic that we see in terms of, and I've been a big believer in zero trust networking for, gosh, 7-8 years, ever since really the world where people would have devices that were always with them, and at work was less about where you were at and more about your state of mind and what you were doing. But being able to say, look, we're going to provide a first-class experience wherever you're at means that we have to trust nowhere. And that seems odd, but that's where you, for anywhere from the corporate office to the coffee shop, you have to assume that the network is insecure. And that's really just how you have to come at it. And by not treating places differently, you really enhance your security. And you also make your corporate network actually even stronger by not, you know, having this false sense of security just because someone's in the building and can plug into an Ethernet port.
Well, and you know, we saw Google start to talk about this as how they treated their offices, you know, almost 10 years ago. Beyond Trust really goes into those concepts, which is essentially, hey, I care about the identity. I don't care about the device as much. I care about, the identity, not necessarily where the packets are coming from. And, you know, when you have a suddenly global workforce, when you've got people that were, you know, that all used to come into the same building and to access the same, you know, radius-based Wi-Fi or, you know, 802.1x network, that you want to make sure that they have that level of security when they're on from Starbucks or when they're on from, you know, their hotspot on their phone, which may or may not have a password, right? Now, thankfully, I mean, obviously, iOS hotspots don't really allow you to be wide open like that. But you've got to, it's much harder to, at that point, protect against those kind of things. So what you have to do is just treat everybody as insecure. Because chances are, we all are. Adopting a posture that allows you to, really focus on, I don't care where they're coming from. I care if they are who they are. You get a much better security policy for your organization, and you get a more flexible workforce to boot. And in this economy, you absolutely need that.
Yeah, and it's a great way to look at it, because I will say, the job market now, everywhere is hiring. I mean, it's everywhere I go, they're hiring. And I kind of would love to have been like a fresh college graduate in this time period. But again, it's just the reality of the situation we're in. And I think it's really a good time to be in IT and a good time to be in a forward-thinking IT mindset and have those skill sets. And it's, to me, less about, if you said, like, hey, what's a good IT trend going forward? I would say it's less about being able to keep a server up and more about tool integration, secure tool integration. And like that is a key skill to have. Now, as we wrap up, I want to talk about what I feel is one of the best sections of this. It's women in IT.
Yes. And the really interesting part about this is that, you know, if we look at the rest of the economy, right? You can go and listen to Marketplace or read any of the studies about the unemployment of the last year, and you can see that women took the brunt of the unemployment market. They thankfully did not take the brunt of pay cuts in IT. Women are doing better in IT, and we are at close to pay parity with their male counterparts for the first time in history. This study shows us that, hey, there is opportunity for both genders in this space. Even women who are, in that childbearing age, we are seeing that they are not chased away from their environment when it comes to IT. And you can look at the top earners by gender in the space. 56% of the women who responded to our survey were making six figures in IT in that 35 to 44 age range, which is amazing. That is 20% higher than their male counterparts. So, you know, this is a place where we are starting to see, you know, significant decrease in pay disparity across the environment, and that's fantastic.
Absolutely, because it's an industry where I think most people that I interact with are very concerned about what can you do. I care just about that as most as anything, and so it's awesome to see that like we're moving. Women who were, again, historically underpaid in this industry, they're getting at parity, and that's what it needs to be. It absolutely needs to be at that. And it's just, it's great to see. That's, I mean, I love that you all put that last in the report, because you get there and you're like, hey, that is awesome, because that is absolutely what we need to see. It's awesome to see that a women got a 42% of women in the industry got a raise last year. And so that is just awesome to see. And so, yeah, nothing else to say other than that makes me happy, is that that's what it should be.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was one of those places where I have been, you know, I've spent a lot of time in my career in different environments. And, you know, I've seen a lot of the consequences of pay disparity. Now, this doesn't mean that we need to, you know, stop paying attention to it. In fact, it means the opposite. What we need to do is say is that, hey, now that we're paying attention to all of this, how do we fix this? And so, you know, in IT, we are starting to fix this. This is starting to go in the right direction. And we are starting to, you know, really see this pay off in a way that's important. And that's something that we need to bring not just to the IT department, but to every other department that's out there.
Yeah, that's, well said. Well said. Tom, thanks for coming on the show and talking about it. We're going to have a link to the full report in the show notes, so definitely worth checking out and downloading it and reading it. It's some good trends. I think I would sum it up as everybody in IT took a breath to move on from the past year, and now it's time to refocus and know that the workforce is not going back to 2019. That's a good thing. We're evolving, and there's some challenges ahead for IT, but I also feel like we have the tools to make it work. And like there are paths to a secure future with all of these technologies we have available.
Absolutely. And that's the best part about it, right? Like, I mean, at the end of the day, what IT needs to care about is that you have the accounts that you need when you need them, that they're secure when you use them, and that the person who is actually authenticating is the person who's supposed to be. So, you know, if those are the goals, this is a great time to be in IT. And I encourage folks to take a look at how they can make their environment better.
Yeah. So, Tom, thanks for coming on the show. And as always, if you're not listening to the Mac Admins podcast, go subscribe to that. Search for Mac Admins on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It's a great thing to have in your queue to listen to on the way to the home office. So maybe the walk. Maybe just put it up to 10x speed to listen to it on your.
I was going to say, you know, there. As long as we don't have Duncan McCracken on, who speaks at 10x speed normally, you should be just fine. We just had a really great interview with Greg Nagel, who writes the open source project Monkey, and we've had a lot of wrap ups from Worldwide Developers Conference. So if you're curious about declarative management, or you're curious about, you know, erase all contents and settings that's coming to Monterey, we'll be happy to talk with you about that and in our back catalog. So thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Thanks, Brad.